Welcome to Doers of the Word with David Middleton, pastor of Jesus is Lord Outreach Center in Phoenix, Arizona. This radio program will teach you the practical knowledge of the Word of God and give answers to your questions about the problems in your life so that you can live in victory. Open your heart and mind as Pastor Middleton shares the uncompromised Word with you today.
Praise the Lord. This is David Middleton welcoming you to the Doers of the Word radio program, where we're teaching you the uncompromised Word of God. We're sharing with you on the subject of God's plan of redemption. We've talked about the creation of man, the fall of Lucifer and of the angels that left their estate in heaven, the fall of man, the articles of redemption. We saw that he promised that the seed would come forth who was going to break the lordship of Satan's rule over mankind, even though his heel would be bruised, speaking of the crucifixion. We also saw the feasts of the Lord. They are not Jewish feasts or Old Testament feasts. They are his feasts, which were rehearsals of what God was going to do in reality through Jesus Christ. We know that these feasts are being fulfilled on the exact day of the feast. We saw that the feast of Passover was the day that Jesus went to the cross. The feast of unleavened bread was him bearing away the sins of mankind for the 3 days and three nights in the lowest pit in hell. And we saw that the feast of first fruits is the resurrection, where Jesus was raised from the dead, born again, the firstborn from the dead, leading captivity captive up out of hell after he preached the gospel to them. And Jesus fulfilled all of these on the exact day with the feast of first fruits, Jesus being the firstborn from the dead, having the preeminence. Now, as we were concluding the last broadcast, we were pointing out what happened from the cross to the throne, that Jesus was made a curse for us, made sin on the cross, and he was separated from the Father, forsaken by the Father, because of the sin that was laid upon him, not his own sin, but our sins. And this spiritual separation is what is called spiritual death, because death means separation. He went through two deaths, as we saw in Isaiah 53, verse 9, a spiritual death, separation from the Father, and then a physical death where his spirit and soul left his physical body. And this is the fulfillment of Leviticus 16, where the two goats were one sin offering. The first goat was killed and the blood was shed. That's the physical death. The second goat had the hands laid upon them, and all the iniquities of the people came upon him, and the goat was sent out into the wilderness to bear away those iniquities. That is Jesus' spirit and soul separated from his body, going down into hell for the 3 days and the three nights to bear away the sin of mankind. When Jesus declared, "It is finished," the old covenant was fulfilled, but it was not the end of Jesus' work, because he had to go down for 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Remember, he descended first before he ascended up, Ephesians 4, verse 9. And we saw that he was laid in the lowest pit. And we also saw in Acts 2, verse 24, that in hell he suffered the pains of death, and he was loosed from them. And we also saw that Hebrews 2, 14, he went through death to get to him that had the power of death, that is the devil. And after he had gone down to hell and paid the price for the sins of mankind, he was born from the dead, born again, the firstborn among many brethren. And then he took back the keys of hell and death from the devil, and then as he was coming up out of hell, first he went to the spirits that were in prison in the upper compartment of Abraham's bosom, preached the gospel to them. They received and came up out of hell with him, and the graves were opened. They got their bodies, and they were seen in the streets. Now, one important point that we want to bring to you. You might think, why did Satan fall for this? Did he not know what was going on? And the answer is no, he did not. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse 7, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. The princes of this world speaks of Satan, who's called the prince of this world in John chapter 14 and verse 30, and also the principalities and powers that were ruling and reigning with him in the heavenlies. It says none of the princes of this world knew it, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. You see, by him being crucified and taken to the cross where he was made sin, and then taking him down into hell for the 3 days and the three nights when he did not sin and they had no right to take him down there, then he was able to accomplish the redemption. He also, because he was sinless, was able to be raised from the dead, born again, the firstborn from the dead, and in doing so, then he was able to take back the keys of hell and death and triumph over Satan and conquer him. And so Jesus was able to accomplish the redemption, and the devil did not know what was happening. This was a mystery unto him. Well, after he came up out of hell, in John chapter 20 and verse 17, where he appeared to Mary, he said to her, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." So Jesus would not let her touch him because he had not gone up to heaven yet. Then at that point he went up to heaven, and in Hebrews 9:11 it says, "But Christ, being come, and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." He accomplished the redemption. And after he had done that, then he came back and he revealed himself for 40 days. In Acts 1:3, he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And Jesus declared to them that he had all authority given unto him in heaven and in earth. And he told them that they were to go forth and preach the gospel, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and that the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit, was going to come unto them. And before he left, he said that they were to wait in Jerusalem until the promise of the Father, which was the Holy Spirit, would come. And that was going to happen also on the exact day of the feast of Pentecost, which was the day of Pentecost, that the Holy Spirit was poured out. When Jesus was ready to leave and go up to heaven for the last time to stay there, in Acts chapter 1, verse 9, when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up in a cloud, received him out of their sight. That's the Old Testament saints that went up with him. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "You men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." And Jesus will come back again in the second coming, which is what the fall feasts are all about, the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now Jesus in heaven is inaugurated as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 8, "Unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity." Here he's enthroned as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In Acts 2:36, Peter, on the day of Pentecost, declared, "Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." He is now Lord over the church. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the church is the church of the firstborn, not people that sign on the dotted line in a roll in a church or join the church. No, it's those who receive Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior and are born again. Because Hebrews 12:23 says, "To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect." So now, Jesus Christ, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, sends in the Holy Spirit. The church among those on the earth is born as those that receive him are born again, getting the brand new Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, and then they receive the Holy Spirit to come and dwell within them. What did Jesus accomplish? Jesus was made sin that now you and I may become righteous. Jesus died that you and I may be alive. Jesus became poor that you and I might have all of our needs met, have abundance, and be rich. Jesus went to hell so now you and I could go to heaven. Jesus became sick, took all the sickness and disease upon him so that you and I can now be healed. Jesus received the law of sin and death. Now we can walk after the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus and walk free from the law of sin and death. Jesus gave himself into captivity to the enemy that now you and I can walk free. Jesus took upon him all of the mental suffering, all of the worry, the care, the anxiety, that you and I could have peace. Jesus took upon himself the sorrow, that you and I would have joy. He went through spiritual death so that you and I would never have to go through it. Now we can enter into eternal life. Jesus went through what was apparently defeat on the cross, that you and I now don't ever have to be defeated. We are more than conquerors and able to overcome. Jesus was condemned and cursed on the cross, that now you and I can be justified and blessed. Jesus was cast out of the presence of God. Now you and I have free access into the presence of God. Jesus became weak that you and I may be strong. He was bound, and now you and I can be loosed. And he fulfilled the old covenant and brought the new covenant into being, which is a better covenant but better promises. There's a tremendous difference between the old covenant and the new covenant. The old covenant was one where they had a spirit of bondage. The new covenant is now a spirit of adoption and liberty. The old covenant, they had to walk after the law, but it's now by God's grace through faith acting on his word of the New Testament. The old covenant was of condemnation and death. The New Testament is of righteousness and life. The old covenant revealed man's nature. The new covenant changed man's nature. The old covenant, man had a stony heart. The new covenant, man gets a brand new heart. The old covenant was one of works. The new covenant is now where we operate in faith in the Spirit. The old covenant, where they walked in the flesh. The new covenant is now we walk in the Spirit. The old covenant dealt with man after the flesh, while the new covenant deals with man after the Spirit. The word of God in the old covenant was written on the tables of stone, while in the new covenant it's written on the tables of our heart. In the old covenant, it was the letter that kills. The new covenant, it's the Spirit that now brings life. The old covenant, the sin was simply covered over. Now in the new covenant, it's been done away and washed away in the blood of Jesus. In the old covenant, they served in oldness of letter. In the new covenant, we serve in the newness of spirit. In the old covenant, they were simply accounted righteous. Now in the new covenant, we can become righteous as we do righteousness continuously in our life. The old covenant, they were condemned. The new covenant, now there's no condemnation. The old covenant, they were servants with no rights. Now in the new covenant, we have rights because we are sons, and if sons, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. And the old covenant was one of sin consciousness. The new covenant is one of righteousness consciousness and walking in holiness. In the old covenant, they offered up continual blood sacrifices, but the new covenant was one sacrifice offered once and for all. Men can only have the Holy Spirit come upon them, but not come and dwell in them. In the new covenant, we get a brand new spirit, the Spirit of Christ, and now the Holy Spirit can come and dwell in us. In the old covenant, they had no free approach to God. In the new covenant, we have a free approach to God. We can come boldly under the throne of grace, and we have free access by the blood of Jesus. The old covenant was an imperfect covenant. The new covenant is a perfect covenant. The old covenant was entered by circumcision of the flesh. The new covenant is entered by circumcision of the heart. The old covenant, there was only one tribe that was of the priesthood, from the tribe of Levi. Now in the new covenant, everyone becomes a priest, as we are now a holy and a royal priesthood, and you enter it by spiritual birth. The old covenant, there was a changing priesthood. In the new covenant, there is an unchanging priesthood. Jesus is now the high priest forever. The old covenant had a temple that was made without hands, in which God dwelt for a season. Now the New Testament temple is in us, is made without hands, where God comes to dwell in us. And from the old covenant to the new covenant, there's not only been a change in the law, a change in the covenant, a change in the priesthood, a change in the sacrifices. We now offer up spiritual sacrifices, a change in the way that we pray now to the Father in the name of Jesus and make a legal demand of what's due us and take hold of the promises of God. You and I have entered into a better covenant with better promises. I want to invite you to our church in Phoenix. Services are Sunday at 10 a.m. and 6:30 p.m., Wednesday at 7. For more information, call 602-279-5212.
We trust you've enjoyed the broadcast today. To purchase books, audios, or videos, please call 1-877-77-DOERS. That's 1-877-773-6377. You can visit our website at www.doersoftheword.org. If this broadcast blesses you, we invite you to become a financial partner so we can take this ministry across the nation. Until we greet you on the next broadcast, may God bless you as you are a consistent doer of the Word of God.